low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
Yeah, you should be seeing the slides now and appreciate the opportunity. This is a program we've been getting a lot of interest and attention around, specifically in these days, especially, and we'll share some research around that. But the idea of how do we get higher in the organization? How do we position our message with those who can actually make a decision? The budget holders, the key stakeholders, those ones that were more likely to actually make the final decisions. We probably all heard that during our career, but it's never more important than now. And we're going to talk about some strategies of why to do that and how to do that, how to get access, and what we say when we get there. So Tim did brief introductions, but we are, Norman and I are both partners at Sales Readiness Group, and we both share our time really servicing our clients, delivering programs, and helping ensure the success of our client engagements as we go along. So happy to share, you know, some of our lessons and experiences with this program and with helping organizations, healthcare and others go through this program, and really starting with the idea of why is it so important to access key executives? You know, why are we even talking about this? Why does it matter? And where can we go from here? So, you know, Norman, I think we wanted to start with a chat here and just get the audience interaction. So maybe you can kick us off, and we'd love to have the audience chime in here just in your question box. You can answer the question. But Norman, what do you think about this question?
Well, I think this idea of meeting with key executives has become, and we're going to share some research later, even more important during the COVID pandemic. The scrutiny on decision-making is higher. There's also numerous considerations going on for key executives in the healthcare industry. So it'd be really interesting to share some of your thoughts. We have some thoughts, you know, as to why it's important to be positioned as a strategic partner and to really elevate. We're also going to share with you some stats about the impact it can have on decisions. So feel free to just chat, respond in the questions on the right side. We know in particular that the healthcare environment has been really stretched very thin, depending on what aspects of healthcare you're selling into. But we actually think that creates more strategic opportunities for selling. So again, be interesting just to see if there's any thoughts from our participants here today. So feel free to chat in. Ray, I know you work with a lot of healthcare clients. What are you hearing?
Well, you know, and this is interesting thinking about the current climate, that budgets are even more scrutinized these days. And I think we have more people involved in decisions and making it even more challenging. I think we have a response from Ryan who says, you know, you need to differentiate yourself and your company from the competition. And we'll talk about that as one of the benefits of if we can have a relationship higher up, it actually insulates us from some of the competitive threats that we may be running into.
Yeah, I love the term about differentiate. I think that the key to selling is differentiation, regardless of what level you're selling at. But particularly with key executives, their time is really very valuable. And one of the key considerations that we'll be sharing with you is exactly that. So Ryan's point is spot on.
Yeah. Well, and we'll keep that open. You know, feel free to add your responses. But what I'd like to do is, you know, we'll talk about some of the things that that we see and that run into. Maybe you could talk through from our perspective and some of what we've seen with our clients, Norman, of, you know, why this is so important.
Sure, and I think we're getting a few more responses, so we'll definitely want to come back to those. But I think this idea of being a strategic partner versus a vendor, and we'll go into a little bit more detail as to how each are viewed and what some of those distinctions are, because quite often these terms are used pretty loosely, but they actually mean very different things. The idea of higher margin deals. So we, you know, there's a lot of industry research, and some of this is cited in our own programs, that when you get executives involved, there's a lot less focus on price. So the lower you sell in an organization, typically the more emphasis on price. As you go up, it really is about value and the overall value create both in the near term and longer term. So we think it actually helps insulate from discounting. Decisions go a lot faster because typically they're multi-level decision makers. If you can start high, also creates additional opportunities. In a discussion with a key executive, you may find out they have other priorities that you have solutions for, or maybe the presenting priority isn't really their most pressing priority. So if selling at a lower level, you're not going to necessarily pick up on that insight, but you'll discover new opportunities. And then the point that Ryan was just making, it can insulate against the competition, particularly as you differentiate your offering. So these are all reasons to access key executives that really help accelerate the sales process, and also, maybe most importantly, improve win rates and margins.
Yep. Hey, Norman, let me just double check. Are you seeing the presenter view or the speaker view here?
I am seeing the speaker view, actually.
Yeah, that, just a second here. All right, that should be a little cleaner.
Okay, hopefully everyone can read that a little bit better. But again, this is a live presentation, so we'll keep it going. But these were really some of the key points. Ray, anything else we want to share just from the participants that have typed in?
Yeah, you know, Jeffrey had a great comment about just making sure we're aligned with the goals and objectives of the key executives. We'll get more into that. And Sheila mentioned about, you know, C-suites where the decisions are made. So we want to access those stakeholders. Absolutely. So absolutely. And we'll be kind of following up on that. You know, there is some interesting research that supports that and just why, how important it is. And this was done actually analyzing over 500,000 sales calls. Now, this is across industry, but by the Chorus Group, and they're now part of ZoomInfo. And they were really looking at what's changed during the pandemic. And one of the interesting things here is they found that their sales calls, the CXO was more likely to be involved today than ever. So 86% more likely to have a C-level person involved. And I think that's probably for two reasons. One is with virtual meetings being the commonplace, it may be more easy to pop into those meetings or to join. And because budgets are being scrutinized and there's a lot of uncertainty in the market, I think we are seeing a lot of executive oversight and they want to know what's going on. So given that they may be showing up, we need to be prepared for that. And the other thing they found looking at all of these sales calls is that the win rates went up if they were able to engage. If the salesperson was able to engage with the C-suite and have them involved during the sales process, they were close to 40% more likely to actually win that deal.
So, Ray, that's a really interesting point. And I think just in, you know, consulting with our clients and prospective clients, one of the biggest issues, and I don't know if it's true for this audience or not, but is stalled opportunities. And so we're seeing a lot of pipelines that are bloated, deals that may have shifted from Q2 to Q3, and maybe will even shift to Q4. So this idea of accelerating and improving win rates, I think there's a huge opportunity in terms of when you're selling to an executive to avoid having opportunities that stall out. I think executives will more likely make a decision, hopefully in the a positive decision to move forward. But even if it's not necessarily a positive decision, at least there's not a lot of time being spent on dormant opportunities. And we see that, we're seeing that a lot right now.
Absolutely. I think it just speaks to how important this topic is. There's a link to the reference here. You can download the report if you'd like to yourself from Chorus. I've talked to their head of research and they did just some great work analyzing calls across different industries and seeing how these executive conversations were taking place. So, you know, let's talk about one of the things as we're entering into an account, targeting account, is thinking about how we're viewed and how that relationship is evolving. And so it's really interesting to think about, are we on the outside as a spectator looking in, right? And I think we've all been there. We're trying to break in and really see how that organization works. Maybe we're one of many, so we're a vendor competing. I think we often see this as price pressures, you know, commoditization, we're competing off of RFPs. And obviously that's a pretty challenging situation. We may be a preferred provider where we're one of a few select vendors and they come to us, but they also come to our competitors, but at least we're, you know, in the mix there. And where we'd really like to get to and thinking about if we can develop these executive relationships is being more that trusted advisor. And I'm sure we've all heard this term of being a partner. But if you think about this, and I think the diagram is actually pretty telling, that means we're inside the circle. You know, things like getting invited to planning meetings, asked for budget input, planning for next year and being part of those discussions. And so we really want to do those things that are positioning us so they will ask for our opinion. We're bringing our insights, we're bringing our expertise, we're helping them advance their deals. And I think if we can get to that point, we know that, you know, now we start getting the orders, there's less pressure on price, everything else that Norman mentioned. Anything else you'd offer on this one, Norman?
I just think that, you know, in this, where you have these circles overlapping, they're looking to us as consultants. They're not just looking for us to provide a service or a product, but they're really looking for our advice. So they're actually seeking out our advice. And I think that's when you kind of really make that leap, let's say from preferred provider to strategic partner, is when the executives and others within the organization are actually looking for your advice and your recommendations. And at that point, you actually have a seat at the table with them as opposed to being outside the circle.
Yeah, that's great. So let's continue on here. You know, we want to talk about what key executives care about and dive into this in a little bit more detail. And we'll get your input on this as well. But, you know, thinking about who's who in the C-suite or who are those key executives, on the left-hand side are probably roles that we're typically familiar with, right? We're talking, I mean, even the chief executive officer, but chief operating officer, revenue officer, probably the CFO as a big stakeholder. And we start to think about how they come into play and how they're influencing our deals. And then the roles on the right or the titles on the right are really more specific to health sciences and medical. And when we think about who are those C-level executives that are involved in our deals, we should really be thinking about their persona. And I think one of the really valuable things about this program and when we tailor it to our customers is doing a persona map, really understanding what do they care about, what are their key challenges and objectives, you know, that what keeps them up at night, even though I don't like asking that question, I think it's kind of trite, but we should be thinking about, well, what's on their mind, you know, what's really challenging for them, and how does our solution help them advance that deal? And so, you know, if it's a chief medical officer, worried about the doctors, right? What are the doctors most important to them in terms of servicing their patients and taking care of them? What are their agenda items? And how do we speak that language, which is going to be very different from maybe the chief financial officer who's looking for the ROI or the business case and managing the budget, or even the chief technology officer who's very concerned about security and access and, you know, the impact that's going to have on IT support. So again, very different drivers depending on this. I don't know, Norman, any of these roles or titles jump out to you?
Yeah, I've got a couple of thoughts, but let's move to the next slide real quick. Let's kind of get some input, I think, from our participants just on which key executives are most important to access in your accounts. And then let's go back to the slide now. You can, you can pick from any of the titles listed or other titles that may be unique to your business. But if we actually look at the list of titles, what you're going to see is the ones on the left, you know, you could have pretty, these would be what I would call business conversations. So whether it's the COO, the chief revenue officers, chief financial officer, these are going to be business officer conversations that really are geared towards the function that they're running. And as Ray mentioned, these could take place over, you know, kind of any organization, whether it was in healthcare or outside of healthcare. But if you think about the list on the right, these are what I would call much more strategic conversations, and because there are going to be healthcare related in particular. They're going to be specific to maybe what a chief nursing officer cares about, or a compliance officer, or a clinical officer. So I really think the messaging, the one of the key issues when preparing for a meeting, we'll get to that with key executives, is making sure the talk track isn't the same for even the discussions on the left-hand side. What the CFO cares about and what the chief revenue officer care about could be very, very different. And the same on the right side, what the chief medical officer cares about may be very different than the compliance officer. So I'm just curious if anyone, you know, wants to fill in, we can jump back to the next slide on the question, just what titles you're finding, you know, are really most important for you. So I'm seeing right now, quality officer.
Yep. Yeah, director of surgical services, as John mentioned, Jeffrey mentioned, the chief medical officer, lab director, chief technology officer. I think there's an interesting dynamic, right, between the chief medical officer, you know, taking care of the doctors and what are the doctors looking for, you know, new equipment or new procedures or things that they want to advance the patient care? And that's balanced, of course, by, okay, does it fit into a technology roadmap? Does it fit into a budget and an ROI? Can we make a case for it? And then even some of those titles, which are really interesting, thinking about the now chief administrative officer, chief operating officer, they're concerned about access, right? They're concerned about security and safety in the hospital. And these days, especially with COVID and protocols, the rep can't just show up and walk the halls or grab that person in the cafeteria the way maybe they used to. So we'll talk about access in a bit, but what else are you seeing here, Norman?
I just, you know, looking at Jeffrey's response, I just see that it's not just selling high, but also multiple decision makers. And that's also something we're seeing just a trend over time. And I think particularly during the COVID pandemic that more people are involved. So it's not a matter of just having higher level decision makers, but also potentially more touch points within an organization. And that's another skill that we often focus on, which is mapping organizations and really understanding who all the key players are and their level of influence in the decision-making process.
Yeah, you know, if we think Gartner now publishes, well, it's the CEB, but, you know, how many stakeholders are involved in the average deal? And I think it's up over six. So the last report I saw is 6.8 is the average number of stakeholders involved in a B2B transaction. So, you know, think about it. If you're talking to one or two stakeholders, chances are there are probably four to six other people, and they say even six to 10 total, that are influencing that deal or have a stake in the matter. We better make sure we understand who those are and what they care about.
Particularly at the C-suite, I would say that, you know, even though there may be six to eight, not all of those will be C-suite, but understanding which two or three from that organization would be part of that, you know, six to eight. But we think about, you know, key executives, we're going to meet with key executives, and this gets to Ray's point earlier, what's important to them? So the first thing is they're looking at business outcomes. They're not looking at features and benefits. What business outcomes can help us achieve? In other words, how can you improve what we do as an organization? That's really their goal, is how you can either, you know, save us money, how you can improve our competitive positioning. Again, there's going to be different areas that they focus on depending on what's most important to them. But again, the key point here is it's really outcome-based, not feature-based. Mm-hmm. The point we had earlier, differentiation. So they want to understand they have, you know, no shortage of, you know, medical device or pharma companies knocking on their door. What makes your company and your solution different? And think about that. It's really three areas. It's differentiating yourself as a consultant, someone who's knowledgeable in the industry, your company's competitive position, and, you know, maybe most important, your solution, and how does your solution meet their needs in a way that's different than other solutions. And those are three areas that aren't always so easy to respond to. So again, preparing in advance is going to be critical. How does your solution impact my organization? So what's the business impact that it's going to have and on my strategy? Hopefully we're, as part of our conversation, getting them to focus on the strategy and the various stakeholders that are involved. Again, we talked about, you know, six to eight stakeholders involved. They want someone who's easy to work with. They want someone who's going to be professional, responsive. Part of that is become even more challenging during, you know, during the pandemic that we've all been going through. It's not always easy to reach people. So we need to make sure that we're accessible, that we really share with them how we work with clients. So I know that whenever we are, you know, working with one of our clients, we're always showing as part of that discussion what that looks like, who the players are on our side, and making sure they understand that it's going to be an easy and effective process. And then, of course, you know, long-term value. As I mentioned earlier, these executives, while they may have, you know, some focus on price, what they're really looking for is a strategic partner and what's the long-term value. So again, selling higher up insulates us against some of the margin pressure and gets us much more viewed as a strategic partner and consultant.
I think it's great. And I think flipping the script a little bit and thinking about it from the executive's point of view, it's not all about what questions that we want to ask, but what's on their mind. And even, and we encourage clients to answer these questions as part of your planning. And if you can't answer them effectively, you know, we think if you can't convince yourself, how are you going to convince them? So we better have a talk track and script around this as we go in. So let's keep going here. I want to be sensitive to our time, but you know, we think about how to get more meetings, and I just quickly will introduce this idea of our RAMP model. So RAMP is just a very easy acronym when we think about selling to key executives of we need to do our research, we need to develop and execute an access strategy to meet with them, then we need to have a compelling meeting, and then we need to propose and follow up and, you know, have something to take away. So we're just going to work our way very quickly around this circle. But, you know, when we're talking about research, it really falls into, and I think three things to remember, because everybody knows, oh, yeah, we should do research before a call plan, and we've probably done that. But at the executive level, it's a little bit different. And what I mean by that is we need to be thinking like that executive based on what's on their scorecard, right? What do they have to present to the board or the CEO? What's most important to them? And if we can think about what's going on within their industry that's impacting them, what's going on within the company that we can learn about, and maybe that's from their 10K, their annual report, their stakeholder letters, you know, what are those things that are going on that we need to be able to map to and say, oh, I read this or I heard this, now here's how our solution can help. And then we need to understand the people. And as you mentioned, Norman, you know, mapping the account, understanding the organization and who's who. And I think if we can take those three things into account, we can be pretty successful.
Absolutely. Just to give an example, I think, you know, everyone here is pretty familiar with researching companies and researching people within the companies, again, identifying who the various stakeholders are. I'll just give a short example on researching the industry, because when we research an industry, we really want to think about our, you know, what are some of the political considerations that are going on? What are some of the economic situations that are going on? What's going on in terms of social dynamics and you know, what's happening from a technological standpoint? And these are areas we want to look at. And if I think just about one, you know, COVID, which has been kind of front and center for now probably the last year and a half, it actually probably touches on each of these areas. If you think about, you know, COVID as it relates to political, there's a lot of additional regulations that might be in place today. If you think about in terms of labor, there's going to be a labor shortage from the economic standpoint in many, many industries. There's also some supply chain issues that are really pretty dramatic related to that. From a social standpoint, it's definitely changed social attitudes. There's, you know, kind of ties to politics a little bit, but there are certainly very different views on social issues. And then from a technological standpoint, how we sell has changed and how they do business has changed. If you just think about, you know, medical industry, think about how many appointments are being done today versus telemedicine versus in person. I don't know when the last time I've been to a doctor's office. So things are changing, again, depending on what your solution looks like. These areas in your industry will differ, but just really something to think through, because this is where you could probably add the most value to a conversation, because in terms of their company, their people, they know their own company pretty well. They know their people. That's research we need to do. But when you research the industry, you can actually start coming up with some very interesting ideas and insights and really create that, you know, that value as a consultant. So again, just giving one short example on industry research, but I really think these are key areas to look at.
Yeah, I think it changes the way we show up, absolutely, in the planning we do. You know, we're going to get a little bit of input from the group, but I want to keep us moving. I know people probably have things going on at the top of the hour, but I would encourage you to think about, well, which of these is most important for you? And Tim, we won't open the poll here, but you know, which area do you really need to dig into and learn more about? So I'm going to keep working our way around the circle. We're going to talk about access now, and, you know, more challenging today than ever for some of the reasons we talked about earlier to actually get inside. But a couple of things that we suggest and that I think can be really valuable is, you know, having a coach that we develop internally. So if we can create and find somebody who we can help be successful, but wants us to win, we develop that relationship, maybe we pay it forward, do nice things for them or help them be successful. They may be able to help us map the organization, give us that referral, or at least provide input that's very valuable, or using a referral from outside. And, you know, LinkedIn and resources like that can be so valuable to see, well, do we know somebody who's connected? Maybe one of our leaders, maybe somebody else that we've met with in another organization. And referrals are going to be so much more valuable and successful in terms of getting that meeting. If I can say, hey, Norman suggested that I give you a call, I go to the top of the inbox, right? So just a couple of ideas. Also, a compelling reason to meet. Maybe that's you have a briefing on an industry report, you have some research, you have some new development that's really compelling that helps them with one of their business objectives. And tied to that, maybe we can bring an insight. We worked with another organization like yours, and here's what we did. I wanted to share that story. That's going to get a lot more attention than saying, I want to show up and give you a demo of my product. But anything else you'd add to this, Norman?
No, I just think the more tangible we can, you know, demonstrate success and provide relevancy, again, for a discussion is going to be really important. Again, in terms of just kind of keeping things moving, we should just probably just kind of wrap up with a couple additional thoughts. Now, ultimately, it comes down to how are you going to make that meeting most successful? And I think that, like most things, it comes down to planning. So do you have a clear objective? So we see so many, you know, we had a CEO who we were talking to, they often called it social visits. We kind of get in the habit of calling on people. That's not appropriate for a meeting with a key executive. You need to have a meeting objective, be very clear why you're there. Now, so what action do you want the key executive to take? Again, you may not necessarily achieve your goal, but you should come in with a goal in mind. What action, you know, if the meeting is successful, what action they'll take? And I guess measurable, you're going to know based on whether they take that action, whether they've actually achieved the meeting goal. So I think it's really important to plan, not only in terms of research, which we covered very, very briefly, but also in terms of what's the meeting goal, what are you looking for the key executive, and is it something you can measure so that you can actually measure when you leave that meeting, was it in fact a success? And an initial thought again is really showing up like a strategic advisor, making sure that we're there as a consultant, that we have a high level of expertise, you know, that we're, you know, making sure it's give and take. We're not there giving a demo. That's the kind of the worst thing to do with an executive audience. You want to make sure that you have, you know, give and take in the conversation, and that you have some thoughts and some questions and some insights that are really thought provoking. And I think, you know, just looking at the slide, I won't cover all the material here, but really thinking and preparing as a strategic advisor and really elevating your presence as you have those conversations. So with that, Ray, let me just flip it back to you. I think we had a couple of just key insights we wanted to share, particularly during the meeting.
Yeah, so during the meeting, I mean, and I think everybody should have and probably does have a script or an agenda of the flow of the meeting, but going back to the outcomes they're trying to achieve and the problems you're going to help them with, I think if we can do that, we'll be positioned for a better discussion. And then after the meeting, we really need to make sure we're providing clear, concrete steps. And, you know, there's nothing worse than saying, oh yeah, it went well, I think they like us, and then not having a next meeting booked or a referral or an introduction or an agreement. You know, what is it that we're expecting to come out? And I love our clients that are making a cadence to say, well, great, do you mind if I check in quarterly? Let's put that on the calendar. Can I work with your assistant? And so now we have an excuse to go back. So I think we really need to be thinking about that. So just some key takeaways here. I would know we covered a lot of ground, but I think these are the key components. We'd love to have an opportunity to discuss it further. But Norman, do you want to sum this up for us?
Sure. I mean, basically, you want to come in as a strategic partner. That's the benefit of selling to key executives. You're going to achieve higher win rates, have less stalled opportunities when key executives are involved. There's some great research from Chorus. Again, if you want to access that, you can go directly and to their site and get the research report. Doing your own research is critical, making sure you're really prepared for the meeting. And then really expressing the value of your solution in terms of the key executive uses. So you really want to understand, kind of think through the language they're using, and really the outcomes they're looking for, and make sure you're positioning your solution to achieve the outcomes they're looking for in terminology they understand.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.